Those of you who do read the magazine, that you probably would remember that in November magazine, I wrote about that how the last year I was preaching from the Old Testament, and as today at Advent, you probably know that the church diary changes. It is now year A, we were in year C, 3-year circle A, B, C, that I will be focusing on the epistle readings, but I did mention that these 4 Sundays of the Advent would be different, because my hope is to focus on the second Advent of Christ Jesus our Lord. When it is Advent time, the church actually, I think, that stands like in the middle of the road, or you can say on a crossroad, that on the one hand, we are looking backward to the history 2,000 years ago, which was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ when he came first time, i.e. his first Advent. And on the other hand, as a church, we must look forward or to the future, that when he shall come in glory. Among the Jewish people, actually the tradition of the Messiah is that in his first advent, his first coming, there are actually Jews as well that who did believe that there was this actually 2 coming. It is a wrong understanding. They just simply did not believe at all. In the first event, he was son of Joseph, not Joseph of Nazareth, but son of Joseph, the son of Jacob, that hence he will be a servant or known as son of man. But in his second coming is when he will be known as the son of David. I wonder at time that if Jesus, when he constantly referred to him as the son of man, servant, that did he have something in his mind of the tradition which was among certain Jewish people. But now, as for the coming back to the second advent, that I want to ask a question. You don't have to answer, but I would love to hear if you have something to say at the end of the service. Will we do that? When you read, if you read in the magazine, that I'm going to speak on the second advent, or when you heard just a while ago me say that I'm going to talk about the second coming of Christ Jesus, how did you feel? How do you feel when anybody talks about the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ? The reason I raise this question, that the reality is, whether we like it or not, that especially in the mainline denominations, that the subject of the second coming or advent is fairly neglected one. So this morning I'm hoping to do 4 things. First of all, to look through the Bible, and in that I will only focus on the New Testament, to see the importance of this subject. Second, I want to look together with you the doctrinal importance of this issue, that Christ is returning. And third, I want to touch on that why even Christians, wonderful Christian people, they simply don't like to touch this subject, the subject of second coming, or call it even that. I want to look that why there is confusion among the Christians about his coming. And the fourth, I want to see that from the words of Jesus, that how or what kind of attitude we as Christians should have towards his second advent or second coming. To start with, about the importance of the subject. In the New Testament, as I said earlier, that I'm only focusing on the New Testament, Old Testament actually does have plenty of references as well about his second advent, but we are talking from the New Testament. The New Testament has got 260 chapters. And in these 260 chapters, there are 318 references to the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. 318. That makes one verse in every 30 verses. And I hope I am correct, and here are people who have studied theology, who are studying theology. If I'm wrong, please do correct me, that the only subject in the New Testament more often talked about is salvation. Other old topics are less talked than the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, salvation, and second is the second coming of Christ Jesus. And very quickly, this is how it goes. Matthew has devoted two chapters, 24, 25, to the subject. Mark has devoted one chapter, chapter 13. Luke has got two chapters, 17 and 21, that contain prophecies on the second coming of the Lord. John's Gospel has one of the clearest promises of Christ's return, John chapter 14 I'm referring to. He further talks about his second coming in 1 John chapter 2, to second, his epistle, verse 7 also. Acts, even chapter 1, you open, and there you will find, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This Jesus who went this way, same way he shall return. Paul has got written 13 epistles in our New Testament. And you know what? That when it comes to some of the most important things that we hold very dear, this is how he has talked about those. He has spoken only 13 times about baptism. Twice he spoke about the Holy Communion, but about the second coming, he spoke 50 times, 50. That is the importance of it. And so is the rest of the New Testament as well. And I guess we all know the last book, the whole book of Revelation, is about the second coming of Christ Jesus. Now I come to my second point, which is that it's doctrinal necessity in our faith. The second coming is not just, you know, that is sort of a riddle or some sort of a pie in sky, but it is one of the pillar of our Christian faith. In a moment, we will be saying together our creed, and when it comes to the bigger part of the creed, i.e. about the second person of the Trinity, Lord Jesus Christ, pay attention. What do Sunday after Sunday we do confess? Secondly, I want to talk about that our hope of resurrection and the second coming or the return of Christ Jesus. I guess that one of the greatest hope we Christians we have is that those who have died, those who sleep in the dust, they shall come back to life. And we, one day, we too will receive our resurrection. Once this body, this, you know, that material body goes, we shall receive the spiritual body. But how does it happen? When does it happen? This is what the Bible has to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruit. Then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come. Also, if you look at the New Testament talks a great deal about the victory of Christ Jesus or our Savior over Satan. But again, you know, that it is that his victory is in that when he does return. And the Bible is very clear that the words of Jesus are trustworthy. Our Jesus or our Lord's integrity stands on that he did say he will return, for instance, in John chapter 14, and it will come to pass. Two things I have mentioned, that how important subject it is in the Bible. Second, that it is doctrinal necessity. And now third, naturally the point comes that if it is so important, why we hear so little in our churches, why we do not so much talk about it. There may be many, many reasons, but I think 3-4 are some of the most important. To me, the first one is about the ignorance towards the prophecy. How many churches, when they train their clergy, they really teach us how to deal with the biblical prophecy? My training is some 3 decades old. Maybe today they are teaching differently, but nobody taught me in theological college that how to deal with the prophetic word of God. I learned all the systems of criticism and this or the other of the Bible, but nobody taught me that how to deal with the prophetic word of God. I wonder how it is. Maybe Becky can tell me something after the service. Perhaps that then, no reason to blame us that we are not always ready or trained even to touch it. The second most popular, I think, is a cultural and sociological reason that why we shun away or we just do not want to touch the subject. First of all, we live in an instant society. 8 o'clock service, I finished. I just went home. I just, put a bit of a milk, bit of water in the cup, pushed it in the microwave, just put 1 spoon and like this, and my coffee is ready. It's like this. Everything must be like this. And now, especially with all the technological developments, we want everything like this. And who just want to be sitting and waiting? And the Jesus, again and again, if you look, we read part of the prophetic word Jesus gave, again and again, he talked about was waiting and watching. But our cultural development is, no, I want it now, I want it just right now. Who can stand this sort of a wait? Then, I hope I am right also, that so much our development is the cultural development is about this world. Everything is here. And I mean that, let me be a bit cheeky, that how much money we would be happy to spend upon our spiritual health, and how much would we be ready to pay and come to listen to Napo's boring sermons. That is the reality. When it is about this world, our focus is there. It is, yes, we talk, we believe all these sort of things, but it is not there, it is here. We want everything and we work around that. But perhaps one of the biggest, in my opinion, others can differ with me, is this. And some wonderful good people have created this problem that the Church of Christ does not want to touch the subject. And that is about date fixing. Jesus, even in today's gospel reading, made it very clear. If you read chapter 24 of Matthew in whole, Jesus has given all that you can talk, you can predict the season, but no one must ever fix a date, because he said that in his human nature, even he did not know, only Father did know when that day is coming. But the truth of Christian faith is that even the giants of faith got it wrong. Take for instance Augustine, one of the greatest theologians. He predicted that it is year 1000 AD when Jesus will return. And I don't want to go into the details of the darkness of that sort of theology which followed in the church. William Millers, you name it, Joseph Wolfer, and so on. Many, many great people. It is not only those, what sometimes we call in our church, happy clappy type of people that who predict these sort of things, but some of the giants of the theology got it wrong as well. And the result, church is very careful that somebody will not take us again for a ride. One of the most famous dates in our modern days was that year 1988, Jesus is going to come back. And I don't know why did they not read what we read just a while ago from Matthew's chapter 24, that you cannot fix a date. Why 1988? Because the Jewish nation came into being in 1948, and the generation is 40 years, and Jesus said, heaven and earth can pass away, but this generation will be here when I return. Hence, it must be 1988, but we are still here, 2016. Nobody should ever fix, never ever be taken by those who tell you that is the date, that is the year when he will return. Now I come to the last point. Then how should we engage as a church with the second coming? In my opinion, there are two things we need to remember when we speak, when we teach, when we talk about the second coming. Both are actually rooted in the words of our Savior. If you will please look sometime when you go home, Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. There Jesus, even in this gospel, in today's reading also Jesus referred to that one, but the clearest is in Luke chapter 12, 35-48. He said there that we must be always ready. You must be always ready. Jesus' expectation from his church was that church must exist with this understanding that his coming is imminent. There are plenty of people, Christians, preachers, teachers, that who say that, Paul and others, they got it wrong. They were thinking that Christ was returning in their generation. No, they were not wrong. That is how Jesus wanted every generation of Christians to live, that it is in my days that he is going to return. My kids now, they are grown up and they are in that age when they don't sit in the evening with me and pray. But when they were, they at times had a great astonishment that why our Father always pray in the evening. Perhaps tonight, Lord. Perhaps tonight you are returning. And if you return, please find us ready to go with you. That is, I want to live. That is how I want my brothers and sisters live. That we live, that it is perhaps today. It is perhaps tomorrow. Why did Jesus wanted that sort of a thing? Did not he know that there is coming this technological developments and we are going to be very, very impatient people? Why would Jesus do that? I don't know, but just think about it. That if you and me, if we lived with that mindset, that perhaps it is tomorrow, the Lord is coming. How would you live? I know about myself that how will I live? Yes, I will be still preaching. Yes, I will be still washing the feet of my brothers and sisters, but with a very different heart. Because I know, perhaps tomorrow, my Lord is coming. That is how Jesus wanted his church to live. And the second, I already mentioned that Jesus has said, you can predict the season, but you must not ever say that that is the day, that is the time when he returns. So we must live as though he is returning. Like this, before Napo finishes the sermon, he will be probably here. But we at the same time must never, ever fix the days. May God give us the grace to live our lives believing and hoping that the Lord will perhaps be here before this day is over. May we be wise to evaluate everything we hear and receive, so not to be moved like a shaking autumn leaf in the wind, but stand firm in the promises of Christ Jesus, who said, "Heaven and earth can pass away, but not my word." He said, "He is coming soon," and indeed, he is coming soon. Amen.